Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today. Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 487.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm coming back to you, I would say, as a new person in a way. I just spent about 10 days in Italy going through a training that very much relates to what we talked about on this week's episode. And I posted about this on social media, but I'm not the same as I was before I left. There's a movement afoot in the therapy world, and it's impacting us as therapists and those who are not therapists but are on therapeutic journeys. We're not all having the same kinds of experiences because, as we know, there are so many different ways that therapy can look. I know that as I go deeper in my own healing journey, I go deeper in my work with clients. And I know my clients feel and experience that differently from the way it would be if I were holding back more or doing things more from a top-down approach. That's what we're talking about in this week's episode. My conversation today is with Dr. Sabrina Njai. She is a wise, grounded elder. I feel like she's an elder when I'm in her presence, whether it's in person or virtually. Just feeling the way she is and the way she lives her life, it feels right. Being in her presence feels good, and it's soothing, and it's real. And she's talking about bringing our authentic selves, our presence, authentically to the therapeutic relationship and why. As I said, I feel like there's a shift happening in our field. There are power structures and institutions which are pulling our field more towards a medicalized, top-down, colonized approach. And then there is like a movement, a turning that is also happening at the same time towards more ancient ways of knowing, wisdom that is shared communally, collectively, from voice to voice, not always written, not always while driven by research and supported by research. It's not focused on proving something. It's tapping back into our true nature, our life force, our soul, spirit, whatever you want to call it. This conversation is not in any way about religion, but we do touch into spirituality, and I just can't wait to share it with you. Between this week's episode with Dr. Sabrina Njai and next week's episode with Eugene Ellis, some of the same kinds of themes are showing up. It's a thread that's carrying through so many of the conversations that we've had recently on Therapy Chat and that I'm having in my world. So I hope that you will find something resonant here, whether you are a therapist or other helping professional or any individual at any stage of your path, your journey through life. There's a lot here, and I want to highlight, because this is coming out only about 11 days before it begins, Dr. Sabrina Njai has a beautiful training coming up at the end of June. So if you are local to or can get to the Maryland area, or it might be virtual, so you may not even have to be in Maryland. If you are interested in finding out about her training, be sure to listen, and we'll have a link to that in the show notes as well. Thank you, as always, for listening and being on this journey with me. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and with me today is Dr. Sabrina Njai. Sabrina, thank you so much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today. I'm really excited to have you.
Oh, thank you, Laura. Lara. Thanks for having me, Laura.
There you go. Yeah. We were talking about being your authentic self in terms of how to pronounce one's name as even such an important aspect. And, you know, not to go too much into this right now, but like how we can be like, oh, that's okay. Just call me whatever. And it's like, wonder about that, right? So I'm really excited to speak with you about so many things, but I'll just let our audience know that what drew me to inviting you to be my guest here on the podcast is, first of all, I took an incredible training that you led on supervision. As I told you when I saw you at the networker, I said that one of my supervisees took the training, and then she told me, I would love for you to take this training. And the training was called How to Be the Supervisor You Wish You Had. I was like, oh, but when I took the training, it was so unbelievably powerful. I couldn't even take that personally. I was like, you know what? Wow. Thank you for letting me know about this, because it was really life-changing for me at that time. And it's something about you, it's your presence, and being with you feels like being with a wise teacher of some kind. And not to, you know, put you on the spot, but I'm really eager to speak with you about the way you be in this world and the way you see things, and what wisdom we can gather and hold from what you're willing to share here.
Oh, I'm really happy to be here too, Laura. And was that a question?
No, oh, okay. Not really. I should say, I wanted to ask you if you can tell everyone who's listening more about who you are and what you do.
Oh, okay. Well, in a nutshell, I am a therapist. I am an author, and I'm a peace builder. And in this chapter of my life as a healing professional, I'm just super excited about a couple of things. One is helping people really understand that at its core, psychotherapy is an act of love, and that the reason why people seek therapy is it's not just because something traumatic happened to us. It's because we've also experienced a misunderstanding based on pain, sorrow, separation, rejection, betrayal. A misunderstanding around the truth around love, the meaning of love, which then separates us from loving ourselves and then keeps us from falling deeper in love with other humans as well. So that, to me, that's the core reason why people are coming for therapy. And that's also what leads to what many of us call spiritual crises. So my passion moving forward in this next chapter of my life, who knows how long it's going to be, but my next chapter is helping clients come to that realization, and then helping the general public really look at what it means to co-create peace. And then what does it mean to also write their own spiritual memoir? So that's all I want to do for the rest of forever, which is, it's fun and exciting, and also can sometimes be a little overwhelming.
Right. Mm-hmm. So as we begin speaking about spirituality, I'll just say for myself, because I have pretty significant religious trauma, even the word spirituality used to really scare me. When I would hear that, I would be like, oh no. And I also felt no connection to any sense of spirituality. But when I first felt that connection organically, sitting in nature, it was like, for me, it felt like, I guess, you know, this is like how they describe spirituality, I guess, is like being connected to something greater, but it was sort of like going from being just an isolated little being who was floating in the world to, oh, I have a place here. Like I fit somewhere. And so that's sort of like a macro level of what you were speaking about, how trauma severs our sense of connection.
Absolutely. And it severs our sense of connection. And it also severs the idea that we're here for a divine purpose, which I 100% believe everyone is here for. But when we have all these events that happen to us that keep us from really knowing or even trying to discover what that purpose is. So what tends to happen is we get stuck on what's missing from our lives as opposed to what is really there. You know, and your point about religious trauma, well, that makes sense because not everybody that's running any religious institution is also a spiritual human. Let me clarify, not in touch with their spirituality. And so they have used it as a weapon of power and destruction. And so we cannot deny that is a reality for so many people. And my invitation to people that come to me is to take what is good and true about what you've been taught in whatever your religion was from childhood and mix it up with what you're discovering about yourself and then see what love wants you to do with it. So when you sit out in nature, you feel like you're a part of something beautiful. That is a spiritual experience. And, you know, there's stories about the Buddha sitting under a tree. Well, he wasn't all that spiritual until he sat under a tree that day. Or Albert Einstein, who was culturally a Jew, but dug so deep into science that he had no choice but to believe that God was real. That's wild to drink all that science and to get to the bottom of the cup and say, whoa, I still don't know anything. Whoa. That to me is like an amazingly divine moment. And so my goal is to help people see and to be reminded that every single spiritual person in history, in the holy text, they all had a traumatic life experience, every last one of them. And those life experiences then sent them on a quest, or they made terrible mistakes. And so I remind my clients and myself and my kids that we're designed to make mistakes. Like that is a part of the design. We are designed to experience pain and fear and confusion. And we're designed to make mistakes. And then we're designed to keep walking until we really land at the truth of who we're supposed to be. And all of those past experiences help to shape us. They shape who we are. They shape our capacity, you and I, our capacity to serve as a guide for other people is because we've had these terrible life experiences, and we've worked on our healing. And people like you and I and others, we know that we're always going to keep working our healing. Like it never stops, right? We never stop working our healing. And so we're like 10 steps ahead of the people that are coming to us for guidance. And they sit with us because they feel it. Oh, shoot. She's only 10 steps ahead of me, but she's 10 steps ahead of me. But she's not so far ahead of me that I can't touch and be with her. And so that to me is the beauty of what we bring into the therapy office. So therapy itself is a very holy, sacred experience to me.
I agree.
Yeah. And I think it's a deep honor that you and I both experience when people trust us with their hearts. So when people come to me for therapy, the first session, I say to them, thank you. Thank you for your trust. You don't know me from a hole in the wall. Something inside of you said, yes, her. And we want to tap into that voice that told you, yes, her. I know it was really soft, right? Because you got this big, hard, mean, nasty voice saying all this terrible crap about you. But that little voice said, go there. And you trusted that little voice. And so I thank them. And on the inner, I bow to them.
Oh, like what you're saying, like what it is bringing up for me, it's like what I think resonates so deeply within me about you and the way you walk in this world, in my experience, is your reverence for the dignity of other people.
Yeah.
And that's something that really resonates deeply with me too. Cause you know, like people trust us with their most vulnerable moments, their most shameful to them moments, their most fearful moments, and fears of things like never being loved or, you know, never feeling safe or things like that, that are so terrifying to say out loud to another human being and risk that the other person will say, that's stupid, or, yeah, you will never be loved or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. That part that someone will validate. Yeah. No, you're not worthy. You're not worthy.
Yeah.
And that is absolutely, completely false. I love when emotions come through. Let them all come in, girl. Let them in. Yeah.
I feel a lot when I'm in your presence. I really do.
Thank you, Laura. I'm messing your name up, Laura. It's so pretty. I think part of what you're witnessing in me is not just me. It is all the women that came before me and all the people, the humans that have been my teachers. So, you know, at this chapter in my life, I'm showing up bringing all of them. I don't know if you realize I have these little hearts behind me. One represents my maternal grandmother. And the other represents my Sufi teacher. And so wherever I go, I carry them with me. I take them. They hang out. One says laugh. And the other one reminds me of what you shared about being in nature. My teacher used to quote Rumi a lot. And he would say, why do you think of yourself as a small star when the whole universe is inside of you? And I wonder what would happen to us if we recognize that the whole universe is inside of us, that we are actually a part of something so big and so vast, and that our time in this physical sense, you and I on Zoom, it's going to come to an end. Like our life will end. This physical life is going to end. And I 100% believe from experience and what I've seen and what I know in my body to be true, that doesn't mean that every aspect of our existence ends, just the physical part. But we're a part of this amazingly wide universe. So we have this universe in us, this physical body ends, and then we're a part in another way of this bigger universe. So a part of what I want to do myself and also to guide my clients to do is, what we going to do in this little window? You know, what are the choices that you're going to make in this window that we have together? And how do we look at the past as a guide, but not stare at the past as a place to live? But we can glance at it, but we don't want to stare and move back there because the universe is also changing all the time. Mm-hmm. That we have to be a part of the change. One of my favorite lines from a book that's not even a religious book at all, but it's freaking powerful. Octavia Butler, Parable of the Sower and Parable of the Talents. Did you read those books?
I haven't read them, but ooh, I keep hearing about it. I just need to read those.
Because the lady was a science fiction author, but really a prophetess. But
yes,
one of the things that some of the things that happened in the book are literally happening now. So many, like, to the date, the time, the year. And this woman emerges and she creates a new religion. And the core of their religion is God is change. And she gathers all these followers who believe that God is change. And they're also under attack by people who believe that they are God, like these quote unquote evangelicals who want to impose their religion on everybody. And so there's like a battle for the souls of the people. And
feels very resonant.
It's, oh my gosh. I won't even tell you all the stuff that happens in that book. I first read it again in 2016 and I threw the book across the room. It was so unbelievably on point. And she wrote it back in the 90s. But that line, God is change, is it's like, yes, that is it. And I just texted a woman today who lost her sister, who was a dear friend of mine, like just 3 weeks ago. And I just felt in my body, I was like, oh, she's having a hard time. They were so close. So I just texted her this morning and she said, oh, I'm having a hard time. I just felt it. And yeah. I said, yeah, it's hard. So many changes. But you know what? We're commanded to change. We were promised change. That's one thing we were promised when we were born, that change is happening. And she said, yeah, you're right. And so she sent me a little heart back. But it doesn't mean it's not hard. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt. But that is what we're promised. We are promised change. And so if we can help our clients recognize that this thing happened to you, that is true. And change is also what is happening to you. They're both true. And then can you embrace the beauty of your life without tossing the reality of the severity? And can you all of it has changed me, and change is still possible for me. So that's what I'm doing with these folks. That's what we're doing with these folks.
And this life, you know, it's like things are constantly changing. We were talking about technology before we started recording and how, you know, things are continuously changing, and that's not an organic type of change, but like the seasons are always changing. It never stays one season. Maybe if you live in Florida, it feels like it does, but you know,
even there, they got hurricane season, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. I was just saying this to my husband, and I were talking about change, and he's like, oh, I'm such an age. And I'm like, dude, even if you sat in this chair for the rest of your life, change is still going to happen. There's no such thing as not changing. So you either make a decision to change, or change will make the decision for you. But change is going to happen. These faces that we have right now, they have changed. We do not look like we're in high school.
And we don't look like we will when we're 80.
Exactly. Although my mom doesn't have any gray hair. I'm kind of hoping that that's my reality, but I don't think so. I'm already ahead of her in the gray hair department. But yeah, it's bound to happen. I think it's a part of our culture specifically that struggles with it, that struggles with the changes more than other cultures. When I hear when people tell me that someone passed away in our American culture, the first question is how they die, as if they're responsible, as if they've done something terrible. And maybe it was just that was their day. Maybe they spoke the several thousands of words that Judaism says we're going to speak before we leave. You know, it happened. And other cultures, it's less about blame around departing and more about honoring the departed. And that's sort of what I'm, not sort of, that's what I'm trying to lean towards. Helping people and myself recognize that our mental health and our spiritual health are intertwined. There's no separation. And our body, our physical body, is a part of that health.
I too, like for me, the more I am connecting with my body, so unlearning the conditioning that caused me to disconnect from my body.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just the trauma, it's our culture.
Oh, yeah.
It says, don't feel, just be productive, right?
Mm-hmm.
Earn money, make money for some wealthy person. That's what we exist for. But the more I'm tuned into my body, the more my body shows me how much wisdom is here. And it's kind of like you said about, sorry for the interruption, when you said about how you texted your dear friend's sister, you sensed that something was, she was needed some support. And the more we tune into our bodies, that's right there.
It is right there. It is so right there. And whatever profound thing I was about to say, it just left. So when she comes.
Oh,
no, I was interrupting you anyway. So I don't remember, but it'll come back. But yeah, I was just really basically agreeing with you about the reality that it the messages are in our bodies. Oh, I know. And then the other message that we get here is that when the body does change, which is also inevitable, that we surgically change it to reverse the reality of the change. And how painful that process is also for us. You know, can we just appreciate what we have right now? Can we just look at this body and say, all right, this is over here. This new body looks like this. And this is what we got. This is what we're working with.
Right. I think the anti-aging culture and the beauty culture and diet culture, it's all just different forms of ways to distract all of us from being connected to who we are, make us think that our purpose, if we're in a female body, our purpose is to be visually appealing and sexually desirable to men, and also subservient, small, yeah, hungry.
And you know what? The older I get, Laura, the more I'm like in awe of middle age and elder women. I walked into a room recently and there was a sea of women. The youngest one was 55 and the oldest one was probably 85. And I walked in, I was like, damn, y'all look good. I'm just talking to myself, right? And I look on the other side of the room. And to be perfectly honest, I could see where the men were still sort of delusional about the reality that y'all look older than them. Y'all look older than them. And I'm not putting men down. I love men. Mm-hmm. I adore men. But I know our culture doesn't put the same restrictions on men that they do on women. And that is the opposite of spiritual growth.
Yeah.
You know, that's the polar opposite. But the more I like really tap into love and beauty, I just look at these women. I'm like, oh my God, look at y'all. Y'all are so hot. Y'all are amazing. And I love that the more we fall in love and the more we fall in love with who we are, the easier it is to look around and see it. Everywhere we go, just see beauty. Yeah. That's what I'm working for. It's not easy, though. I'm not going to lie. I'm talking to you like it's the easiest thing in the world. It's a conscious daily effort.
Well, so you're saying it's a practice.
It is a practice, honey. It is a practice. It is definitely a practice. And I'm always reminded of Tara Brach when she was at the network. You know how you go to the network and you keep like a little nugget, like, mm-hmm, you know, all the information. But these little nuggets, they stay with you. One nugget I got probably a decade ago was from Tara Brach. And she said, we engage in spiritual practices to remember what we forgot. That right there, it's like, yes, that is it. To remember what we forgot. And so I engage in my practices because I too forget. I too get caught in the voice that says, oh, who wants to be self-employed? Oh God, it's such a drag. It's so much work. It's so much this. Oh, how old are you going to be when you retire? Oh my God, you still got a student loan. And I get caught up in worshiping all the worldly things. And then I literally have to like put my right hand on, before I even get out the bed, like put my right hand on my heart and say, all right, Sabrina, what do you need? What do you love? Why are you here? And then I always come back to, I'm here to give the love. I got something to share. And then I get up and do my prayers and burn my incense and write in my journal. And then it's a whole nother experience, but it does require daily remembrance, because there's so much coming at us to make us forget.
Have you ever had those days where everything just feels harder than usual? I've definitely had my fair share, and I totally get how frustrating it can be. Sometimes it's not just stress or lack of sleep. It could be hormones at play. That's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. Hormone Harmony is an herbal formula that fine-tunes the hormonal system. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code CHAT at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code CHAT for 15% off today. Today's episode is sponsored by Psychotherapy Networker and PESI. If you're a therapist, be sure to check out the partner page, which is linked in the show notes, where you can get discounted trainings with previous Therapy Chat guests like Courtney Armstrong, Dr. Leslie Korn, Dr. Ariel Schwartz, Dr. Tammy Nelson, Dr. Janina Fisher, Rebecca Case, Dr. Peter Levine, Dr. Lindsay Gibson, Deb Dana, Lori Gottlieb, and many others. You'll find the link in the show notes to my partner page with PESI and Psychotherapy Networker, where you can find all these discounted training. If you need CEs, this is a great place to go. Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from clients' secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today. That is really true. And I know that what's coming at us to make us forget is on purpose, but a different type of intentional. You're describing the intention to practice the rituals that keep you close to who you are and why you are here.
Yeah. Because I get caught too. I mean, like this little crack device we walk around with, I call it crack. Like this thing is crack, right?
Yes.
And, you know, and I look just already just that fast. Like I see a text message that I didn't think was coming through because I was on airplane mode and I can get caught up. And next thing you know, I'm looking at, you know, Beyonce's kids. Like, why do I care? You know,
I got to tell you, those things show me so much of Beyonce's kids. I'm like, why do you think I want to see how Blue Ivy is learning to dance? They keep wanting me to, I feel like they want me to not like the way that Blue Ivy is dancing. And it's like, let her live.
Or every time you click it, somebody's getting paid.
Right. And then when I watch it, I go, why did I watch that? I don't like that. I don't care. I mean, I appreciate music and I appreciate rhythm and it's beautiful, but like, this is like, this snippet is really not even, there's no substance to it whatsoever.
No.
But I, you know, it made me curious and a lot of times I click, you know?
Exactly. We all do. And yeah. So.
And then you forget what you were doing and what you were thinking about and feeling and everything.
So I'm always asking myself and I'm always asking my clients, what do you worship? Because we can all start to worship this celebrity stuff. We can all start to worship comparing ourselves to others. Comparisons, those are some deadly little demons that follow us. Mm-hmm. We can all start to worship fame. I was just with someone earlier today and she said she wants to be a teacher. She wants to teach. And she's really, really brilliant. And we talked about what is your intention of the teaching? Do you want fame and fortune or do you want to share beauty? And she said, I want to share beauty. I said, okay, then you may make some money from it, but it'll be clean money. It'll be good money.
Yeah.
As opposed
to relationship to the why.
And I'm working on it myself all day long, all day. And I think that was the other piece that we talked about is how, you know, when we're on a path and we're walking our path We are just enough ahead of the people that are seeking our guidance that they feel like we can give them something, but we're not so far ahead that they sense that we don't understand their struggles or that we can't.
And they feel like they could never get to the point that we're at.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So we're always, the fact that we're on the path working on ourselves gives them something to look forward to, but not so far. And it's so funny. It's little things. I have this client who just left. She's grieving. And she hasn't been taking care of her like physical self because she's just in acute grief. But today she said, "I love your red dress." And I said, "Oh, yeah, like you could totally get one this weekend." And she's like, "You won't be offended if I buy that same dress?" I was like, "If I see you in this dress, I'm going to be ecstatic for you. I didn't make this dress." And so she's like, "Okay, I'm going to go to Artscape and see if I find it. Go ahead, enjoy it." So it seems for some people that are not doing this work, it might seem really small. But if that woman shows up wearing a pretty dress, that's going to tell me that she is healing. Because for her, grief has resulted in her looking like she doesn't care about her appearance. So it's little things. And for us, those of us that are on the spiritual path, is to not be attached to the outcome or to our things.
Well, that is so true. I mean, that's what clinging to youthfulness is about, is being attached to some ideal of beauty that's in the past, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
It is in the past. Well, Angela's Arian calls it, she wrote a book about menopause called The Seven Gates. And she said, this is the new body. I'm always saying that to people. I got new eyes. These new eyes need glasses to read. The old eyes didn't need glasses. And so this new body, you know, has a little pudge at the bottom of the stomach, and it's got pokey things. Some people call them cellulite. It's got pokey things on the butt, you know, and stretch marks from childbirth. And, you know, this new body has gray hairs and some wrinkles on the eyes. And this is the new body. This is the new one. The old one's gone. This is the new one. And that also helps me to be okay. Like, this new one looks like this.
Yeah.
And everything can be new. Like, we can choose to see our situation, our life, are everything through new eyes. And we can change those eyes every single day. We can choose.
There's something else that you were saying about what do we worship, and something I thought of is going back to what we were talking about, sort of like what women are caged with in our culture in a lot of ways. But with men, it's not about their appearance as much as it is about their appearance of being strong, being powerful, and having, you know, like brave, being brave.
And here, being wealthy.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's power. It's that seeking power and being worshiping power. Just like you said about fame and power.
Yeah.
It's like when we are chasing after power, it's a false thing that we're seeking. But, you know, like going back to religious trauma too, the people who are using the power they have in a form of power over instead of power with.
Yes, absolutely.
That's really, that feels so disconnected from our biological drive to be connected as a species and connected with beyond just our own species, but
yes, it's true.
The natural world.
And love demands that we share our resources, that we don't keep it all to ourselves. And I think you're right. Our tendency is to quantify in our culture. We quantify. Everything is based on this number, the weight, the dollar amount, the income, the address. It's all numbers. But the heart,
age,
ooh, child. But the heart is not attached to those numbers, and love is not attached to the numbers. So yeah, I think I told you I'm a student of Sufism. I didn't mention that in my intro, but I'm a student of Sufism. And the teacher that I referenced, he was a peace builder in Jerusalem. And people, all kinds of people from different religious traditions would come to see him. And one of the things that he would say is when you sit down with him, he would say, "Oh, you want to sit with me? Have you fed the poor this week? What have you given to the poor?" And then if they would, you know, say, they would say, "Well, CD, you know, I gave $50 to my church." And then his next question would be, "Was that a sacrifice or was it just easy?" And he demanded us to make a sacrifice. Like, if you got $50 and that's all you have to your name, then you gave too much. But if you have $50 and it's nothing for you to give it away, then there's no discomfort. You need to have a smidgen of discomfort. Like, ooh, yeah, I'm going to do this. And that is it. And so his question was always, what was the sacrifice you made for the poor? And that's another part of my tradition, is recognizing that if we have a lot, we have to give some away. And things were not given to us evenly for a reason. And so that's also been a profound teaching for me. And, you know, as a therapist, sometimes I'm trying to find that balance between giving it away and keeping for myself, being an entrepreneur, a social entrepreneur, which is what we both are. And trying to find that balance, but recognizing that, you know, I don't own anything and I don't want to worship the money, but I do want to make an honest living. So it's the balance between serving humanity and making a living that I love about what we do. And I also think that's why we're disproportionately led by women, because we do have that capacity to hold people without quantifying them. And I love that about us. I wish there were more men doing our work, but they're coming. They're coming along. We're creating some. There's a few coming along, and I'm excited about them too. And I'm excited about the men that sit with us that want to relinquish that, to let go of those notions, because there are a lot of them. They're tired. Their hearts are heavy, and they're ready to do something different. I have one coming shortly. They get me excited. I'm, you know, in the midst of all that's happening in the world, I'm really still excited. I still believe in humans. I believe that this is all a test. It's all a trial. And I'm really trying to pass the test. I want to help other people pass it too.
I keep returning to, and this connects with what you said about us all having a divine purpose. I keep returning to this idea. We were born in this time for some reason. So what is it? You know,
yeah.
Like, and it's not just like, what is it? What is my path? I mean, if you're on a path, you're moving towards something, you're already working in that
mm-hmm.
energy, you know, because sometimes when I ask myself, well, what if I'm here for a purpose, what is it? What am I going to do? It's like, well, it's not like I haven't been doing anything.
Yeah.
But, and so, you know, and it can be hard sometimes to recognize what we have done
mm-hmm.
and what we do, how we have contributed versus like, but there's so much that needs to be done and I should be doing more and all of that. So it's that balance piece again with, as you said, everything's always changing. So balance is an illusion too, in a way, because we're constantly trying to figure out where is the balance in this moment, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know, it's a really good question that you asked. But the reality of it is, I tell people all the time, just do your part.
Yeah.
And if your part is having this beautiful podcast and running that organization and impacting other healers, that's a huge part.
Thanks.
It's huge. And if you know, when you leave this earth, if people remember you, that's it, you know, that's it. And that's all we have to do. I was talking to someone recently and she was all distraught over policies and politics. And she said to me, "This is the worst time in history." And I said, "Oh, honey, honey, honey. You called the descendants of slaves to tell me that this is the worst time in history? Let me tell you, honey, it's not. She's like, oh, yeah, you're right. It's not. It's not. It might be the worst time for you. I would agree that it is the worst time for you right now in your history. It is the worst time for you. But if we look in the big scheme of things, it's not the worst time in history. But it is change, and it is hard, and it is funky, and it doesn't smell good. And it's change. Yeah. Change moves.
That's right. And in a weird way, that what you mentioned about the time and history of enslavement here, specifically we're thinking of right now, in a weird way, that's helped me keep perspective since things have been so chaotic. I keep saying, well, how did people continue to love then? How did they? Because they did. People made babies. So many didn't survive, but so many also did survive. And how?
Yeah.
And it reminds me, it checks me as a white woman. Hey, okay, I know you're scared, but people have been through, even myself personally, the things that I've been through in my personal life, I've been through worse things than what's happening out in the world. And I lived through those things.
Absolutely. And are your people Irish? Are you Irish descent? Mm-hmm. Your people have been through worse things than what you're experiencing right now. Absolutely.
Right. I didn't risk starvation to escape a place where there was, you know, no food on a ship. Whether my people came voluntarily and African-American people's families weren't coming here voluntarily most often, it wasn't because they wanted to leave where they were.
No.
Forced migration is
absolutely
super traumatic as well.
Absolutely. And so, you know, that's another reason why in my work, I get so excited and animated about guiding people in creating their genograms.
Can we talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, because I love a genogram.
And, me too.
Yeah. So I want people to think about the themes in their life and the people that help shape them. And I tell them, don't leave anybody out. I know you had this great grandma that did all these amazing things and invented, you know, the blow dryer. That's great. But I just made that up. But but also don't leave out Uncle Frank, who put a gun to his head. And don't leave out Cousin Tony, who raped Sister Frances.
Yes.
Like all those people shape who we are. And you can look at them and you can say, the patterns that I want to keep is I want to be a part of inventing something. And the pattern I want to dismiss is I want to believe people when they tell me something has happened to them. And also to look at all these folks and say, where is the symptom in my life right now? What do I need to know about myself? Who do I have to forgive? What am I grateful for? And that thing, those pictures bring in so much mercy, so much mercy. And I have people say things like, ooh, so if we're not finished, I always like say things like, well, let's leave a treat for them and we'll finish when they come back. And one of my clients is like, no treat for them. And I'm like talking about leaving like a little piece of chocolate or something. It's like symbolic. And then they come back like, okay, yeah, you know what? That was a little selfish. I guess they could have had a treat. And that tells me that there's a shift. And that shift is tiny, but it changes our physiology and it changes our spiritual awareness. So moving forward, when we see Uncle Frank's name, we're not like this. We're like this. Because we see him through a larger lens of his life, that ship, the starvation, all of which led to him committing this crime, or becoming that heroin addict, or whatever he did. So it doesn't excuse it. It helps us understand it. It still was not okay. But, right. You know, but to see it through that greater lens helps us to forgive. And it's interesting, we were talking about slavery earlier. Invariably, I'll have a white person come to see me and they're just devastated when they find out that their family members own slaves. And I'm always like, honey, let's look at this in the context. You're looking in 2020 lens, But this happened in 1820. And in 1820, your people, if they didn't own slaves, that means they were so impoverished that they didn't even have food on the table. Oh, I didn't see it like that. Yeah. So think about it through the lens of the culture, the time, what was happening. Put the mercy in there. And then you can change your habits and how those things that happened back then might be impacting the way you interact now. Do you behave as if you own people now? And some of us do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I always want people to look at it like this. Look at all of them. Make some decisions. And that's really doing my own genogram is what led me to ultimately writing the stories that are in my book about my grandmother. It was me looking at the past, but not staring at it, but looking at it and finding the mercy and falling in love with a woman, again, who could not speak because of horrific traumatic life experiences. You want me to tell you a little bit more?
Yeah, if you don't mind, I'd love for you to share about your
my little journey.
Very special grandmother.
Yeah, I don't know what I told you before, but I my grandmother was physically attacked by a police officer when she was 33 years old, and she suffered a debilitating stroke, and she was left for dead, and she ended up living another 51 years. Yeah, 51 years.
Amazing.
And I know, amazing. She's a flipping miracle. But, you know, what's crazy about the story, and my Christian friends are always in awe, you know, she had this stroke in her Jesus year, which was 33. She woke up on Good Friday and lived another 51 years. So that always tells me we're not leaving until we're supposed to go. I don't care what you do. Try to check out of here. You ain't leaving before that those last words are uttered. That's when you go. So after she passed away and I was her caretaker of the last 6 years of her life, I ended up writing letters to her. And then one day it became a dialogue. And first I was like, this sucks, da da da. And then one day I felt her like take over my pen and we started dialoguing in my journal. And through the dialogue, I realized that stroke was liberation for her. And we always considered it, my mom considered it a jail sentence. And I realized through my writing that it was liberation. And my grandmother became a whole new creation after that stroke. And she could only say the word no and yes. And she learned how to say no like all these different ways. And so she was free. She wasn't attached to things. She wasn't attached to money. She wasn't attached to time. Every single day was another day, a new day for her to laugh and be in relationship with other people only through her eyes and her laughter. And that is all she brought here. And it impacted me in such a profound way. It shaped who I am. It literally shaped who I am. And the trauma of losing their mother, so young, my grandmother had 6 kids at that age, was horrible for my family, horrible, especially for my mom. So what it did is, you know, what it did for me is I was able to take the trauma of these losses in my family and sprinkle my grandmother's laughter on top and let it shape who I am. And those lessons I took all the journal entries and turned them into life lessons, what I call love lessons. And one of them is, you know, live forgiveness. I'm paraphrasing the lessons though. Learn to say no, live for peace, laugh daily. Actually laugh till you pee because she used to pee on herself every time she laughed. Let go, die before you die. Let go of your attachments. And be a light. So when you see me, Laura, and you say that I'm light, it's because I made that decision through this woman to make sure that I am a light because she was a light. And I don't want to dim that light.
Ooh. Mm.
That's not me. That's Big Mama making you cry.
I know. It's like she's living through you like right now. It's so
she was
poignant.
She was something. She's still something. So when I get stuck in life, I wrote this book for me, which is why I tell people I want to help them write their spiritual memoir and that they are the first audience. I wrote it for me. And when I get stuck, I open it up and I'm like, oh, I need to come back to that. Oh, damn. And if other people read it and they get guidance, then that's a blessing. But the guidance was for me.
Then that could be enough, but it seems like it's these lessons are things that
they're universal.
We all can benefit from. So,
oh, absolutely. So the next book is like how to use these teachings for your own life, which I didn't do. It was just all about how I use them for mine. And now it's how do I help people use it for their lives?
Yeah. Wonderful.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. You know, I'm so deeply moved by everything you share about your grandmother. I told you when I saw you in DC that just reading what you write about, even just about your book, just I find myself just it's on a body level. It's just so impactful.
Well, that's beautiful because she couldn't walk. So right. If you feel it, that's also a gift from her. And she couldn't move her right hand. But man, she moved people. So we don't have to be fancy. And we can do what we need to do on this planet with a new body that doesn't cooperate the way the old body did and still be impactful.
Whew.
That's a good place to pause, right?
Yeah. Wow. This is just like full circle what we've been talking about. So, oh my goodness. So I want to ensure as we end that people hear that you guide people in writing their spiritual memoirs. And you told me that you have a training coming up. I'm sure it won't be the only one, but in June.
Yeah. I'm finishing up one right now that ends June 6th. So that one's closed because we've been doing three sessions once a month on Fridays. And then I have another one that's just for healing professionals. And it's called Writing the Healer's Journey. And that's like a little day of retreat, couple CEUs, six CEUs. And it's just for therapists, nurses, counselors, even massage therapists have stories about when emotions come through and how people are healed and they get a healing too. So that's on Friday, June 27th. And it should be up on my website. It's supposed to be theheartnest.com. It's supposed to be up there. If it's not there today, it'll be there. It'll be there. Yeah. So
by the time this goes live, I'm sure it'll be there.
Absolutely. So it's theheartnest.com. And I love sitting with other healers and helping them really understand that your purpose, your job, your vocation is an act of love and faith in humanity.
Yes. Oh my gosh. So let me just quickly amplify. Will listeners who want to read your book find that on your website too?
Yes. Well, I have a separate website for the book. It's called BigMamaSpeaks.com.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
What's the subtitle? I need everyone to hear.
So the title is Big Mama Speaks, and the subtitle is Love Lessons from a Harlem River Swan. And you know, there's no real swans in the Harlem River. However, in my imaginary world, there are. And one is my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's my gift to her. And then in turn, my gift to everyone.
I just want to say, you know, when you talked about giving things away for free, you know, like this interview and these lessons that you're teaching that are incredibly enriching. This is so valuable. So
thank you for what you're doing.
I am so grateful.
Me too. Thank you for what you're doing, honey. The planet needs you.
Back to you. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm just like, I want to be using my hands all over the place if I didn't have this mic in front of me. So thank you very, 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 very much for being my guest on Therapy Chat today. I think that this was a beautiful conversation. I'm really deeply appreciative of your time and your sharing
Thank you.
Sliver of your wisdom.
Oh, you're so sweet. Well, God willing, we'll do it again, honey. Thank you so much. Now I got to go and help some more people. They're knocking at my door in a minute. All right, love. Okay.
Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Regan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.